Housing is a right. Housing is a right. Housing is a human right.
Housing is a right.
Or human right.
Housing is a right.
Everyone is entitled to it.
Housing is a right.
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 Affordable housing is a right.
Housing is a fundamental human right.
It's an essential part of life, so I do think it's a human right. But not only do I think it's a human right, but most of the world does. If you look at international covenants and instruments, it says that housing is a human right.
You know, when you say housing is a human right, it says that every individual on this earth has a right to a safe abode, a place to call home, a place to put their head down at night.
A human right means everyone is entitled to it, to it, to it.
My name is Lorenzo Diggs. I've been in and out the shelters ever since 91. My addiction. That's what first brought me to the shelter. I was 19 and I didn't want to go back home with my mother and father, which they always said you come back home, you know. And I was so ashamed to go back to family, I went to the shelter. I said, okay, I'm tired of running. You know, I'm tired, I'm done. So I walk into the shelter, and it was like walking in a prison. My first experience in a shelter was Brooklyn Atlantic Avenue shelter. I looked around, and everybody was moving all over the place. I went, sat down, waited for a receptionist, caseworker to call me, which went somewhat okay. But then going up to the rooms and walking through the place by yourself, it's like a prison without the security guards. My mind automatically went to defense. What am I going to have to do to protect myself? Now, this is based on what I'm seeing going on around me. I've seen a gay person get targeted. Guys beat him up, and they tried to make him do certain things to them. The shooting dope in the needle, you know, in the bathrooms, the shooting dope. The bathrooms are disgusting. Feces all over the place. Throw up all over the place. Someone dope sick or something, and they throw up. Just the place is filthy. Put 10 guys in a room. 4 of them are active in their addiction. 3 of them has mental health issues and they're angry or talking to themselves and not getting no real recovery or assistance with it. The others is just want to be tough guys. They want to take over the area. People are using in the bathroom. People are using in front of you. People are selling. You know, you got to put up with this guy who's trying to rob your sneakers and... You know, so all that stuff about, you know, walking in, saying you're done, the minute you walk in there, it was so easy for me to say to myself, I'm gonna get high just to get through this shelter. From the shelter, I went to a SRO, then I went to a 2-bedroom apartment, and now I'm in a 1-bedroom apartment, and I'm in a subsidized housing. Giving me that apartment, you made me feel like I'm a human being. It may sound like a small thing, but that's that human right to feel human. My Friday nights is spent listening to music, washing clothes, and cleaning up. And I enjoy doing that. I mean, it's my place. You know, I'm not a clean freak or anything, but I like my place a certain way. You know, I like to keep it organized. But being able to sit back, listen to music, and just be at peace, you know, whenever I get ready, it's priceless.
My name is Joseph Ferdinand. I lived in Queens.
But after 18-year marriage, things wasn't working out. That's how I moved to the Bronx, basically. When I moved here, I moved like in the wintertime, so it was quiet. And I thought it was, oh, all right, this, you know, it's quiet and nice. And I could live here. I'm used to living like suburban type living, you know, the home, space, not many people, not very close, you know. But when the weather started to break here in the Bronx and, you know, people started coming out, I was like, wow, man, what the hell am I doing here? You know, because to be honest with you, even though I grew up poor and everything, I never really lived in the ghetto. And this is the ghetto. And I didn't think that this was where I belong, you know. I would very rarely come out of my house unless I really have to. And if I did come out, it'd be like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning time. I would jump on my bike and ride, listen to my music and whatnot. I just didn't want to be around people. You know, there was talk about they forming a tenant association. And people used to be ringing my bell, come on down, come on down, we having a meeting, come on down. I'd be like to myself, what the hell are they bothering me for? You know, I don't really care. And then one day I was out and I was coming in the building. And there was a meeting going on right in the lobby. And I couldn't walk back out. I was like a deer caught in the headlights. I was just there. And some of the problems they started talking about, you know, like criminal activity, drug activity that they're living with on a daily basis in my very, the building that I live in. I remember this one particular woman talking about how she was so scared because they'd be on her fire escape. She's a single parent with like 3 kids. You know, she said, I can't even sleep. I have to sleep with 1 eye closed, 1 eye open. You know, just because I'm scared that they're going to bust through my window at some point and do something to me and my family. And you call for the police and they says, all right, they will send someone. No one ever shows up. You know, these are people on drugs. There was a lady talk about these people having sexual intercourse on the staircase. And she came up, and they didn't even stop. That type of thing, really disgusting, you know. That kind of, like, impacted me a little bit. But I think when I looked around and I saw the children who are being subjected to this, and some of the people had their kids right there with them, too, you know. And so I felt it was my duty to do what is required of me as an adult, as a human being, as a man. And so I started going to the meetings and voicing my opinions and suggestions and stuff like that. I was telling people, look, you know, y'all got to organize. You got to speak with one voice, you know, and be on the same page, you know. Just don't sit there and make phone calls, you know, go to the precinct. Go to the precinct. Go in numbers, you know, put the pressure on them. Have them do something. And they used to listen. And when I look back, it's because I'm not the kind of person you would find in the spotlight. No way, no how. I'm very shy. But it was just something that I felt that people should do. And they kind of like put me to the forefront. And I couldn't even tell you, because it happened so slick and so quick, you know, that I found myself being running this tenant association, basically. So the building today, my building, the cleanest. No criminal activity, no, you know your neighbors. My neighbors know me. As a matter of fact, people calling me by my name. I hear people on the street call me by my name, and I don't even know these people. And you want to hear something funny? I went to Queens about 6 months ago. And when I went to Queens, I wanted to get the hell out of there and get back to the Bronx. That's how I felt. Like, I don't want to be here. I want to come back home.
That was Lorenzo Diggs and Joseph Ferdinand. My name is Michael Primo. Along with Rachel Falcone, I am creator and co-producer of the Housing is a Human Rights Storytelling Project. The project creates a space for people to share first-person stories about their struggle for home. More information, including how to participate, can be found online at housingisahumanright.org or by calling us toll-free at 888-955-6653. That's 888-955-6653.